care to mark your books at number 284, that will be our invitation song this evening, number 284.
Good evening. It's a privilege to be able to stand before you again and open up God's Word with you. I hope that you will follow along as we go through our discussion of the Bible this evening and make sure that the things I say come from His Holy Word. If I don't say things that are from His Holy Word, please let me know. I don't want to be held accountable for preaching false doctrine, and I know you don't want to be held accountable for me leading you in that way. This is a box that, it's a strawberry cake mix box. And if I told you that I was just going to set it down here on the table, and at the end of service I was going to have a strawberry cake, you'd look at me like I was crazy. And rightfully so. We understand that if you want to have the strawberry cake, I look on the back of the box and I've got to heat my oven to 350. I've got to mix the cake mix with water, oil, and eggs. I've got to prepare my pan with either a spray coating or something. And then I got to put the batter in there and I've got to cook it. And then if I don't burn it at the end of the time, I will have a strawberry cake. We can understand that simple concept, can't we? But yet, people look at religion as something that is just going to magically happen to us. That we don't have to do any work on it, but we're going to know everything we need to know. Well, tonight as we end one year and begin another, I thought it would be good to talk about preparation or being prepared. Because it doesn't happen by chance. It happens through a lot of hard work. Now my wife, when she heard what I was going to preach on, she said, well, I'm preparing to take a good nap tonight. I said, well, if you take a nap, I'm going to have people go up to you and shake you and wake you up. So if you see her nodding off, you just do that for me, okay? But preparedness is something that you think about how many things in life could be avoided if somebody was prepared, right? If you're in school and you don't study for a test, what happens? Well, unless you get extremely lucky on a multiple choice test, you're going to probably fail the test, right? Because you have to prepare for it. We understand that in all walks of life, but yet, once again, when we talk about religion, people think, nah, I can get by without doing that preparation. I'd like to look at three things tonight that we should be looking to prepare ourselves for. Our goal this, or our theme this next year, is going to be launching out into the deep, correct? And that's the idea that we are launching out with, the idea that we're going to have fish come back. In other words, we're going to have souls hear the gospel, and we're going to be able to have an impact on people. Well, once again, if we want to succeed in that, we have to be prepared. You know, one of the first things we talk about when we think of being prepared, we need to be able to be prepared to talk about the Bible to people, don't we? How can we tell them about Jesus if we don't know our Bible? Kind of hard, isn't it? There's a lot of people, when you ask them a question about the Bible, they say, well, my preacher said, or my elder said, or my dad said, or my mom said. But what's the only thing that matters? Well, this says, men make mistakes. God's word is infallible. It's from the mind of God. As we had read in 1 Peter 3, 15 and 16, we are to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies in us. Now, how do we do that? Is it going to come magically to us through osmosis? In other words, I'm going to look at Ron and I'm going to pass information, what I'm thinking, to Ron, and he's going to automatically know and he's going to be able to teach it. Well, obviously not. We have to do hard work, don't we? I tell my son frequently, there's no substitute for hard work. If we want to succeed in doing our job as children of God and being able to give that answer, we have to prepare ourselves. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus is talking specifically to the apostles, but that commission applies to us just as much today. Go therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay? How are we going to do that? Well, we have to have a knowledge of his word. Turn with me, if you would, to Joshua, the first chapter. As Joshua was taking over for Moses, God was giving him some information as to how he could be a success as this new leader of Israel. In Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, he said, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success." Now, real simple formula God gave Joshua, didn't he? You meditate and you know my law, and you follow that law, and you're going to be successful. It's no different today. When we know God's law and we apply it to our lives and make ourselves the people we should be, we can be successful as Christians. 2 Timothy, the third chapter, verses 16 and 17. Paul said, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." That's what the word of God will do for us if we study it, if we meditate on it. It can't be something that we just, you know, same thing as the cake. If I just set this on the table throughout the week, am I going to magically know what's inside of it? No, we have to open up our Bibles, we have to read it, and we have to study it. Turn with me, if you would, to the first Psalm. I think the first Psalm gives a very good idea about this being prepared and to listen to the way of the Lord. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Now notice, he's going to give what's going to happen if we are willing to do that. "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." So how can we be part of those godly people? We meditate on the law. We read it, and we're promised we can understand it. Now, sometimes it might take a little more study, but God has promised us that we can understand his word. Turn with me to 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter, in verse 2. Now, he's writing to this young evangelist, Timothy, but he says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching." Now, why is this so important? "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to faith, to fables." Now, how does apostasy start? When we don't know the word. When we don't know what it says, and when someone teaches false doctrine, we can't call them out on it, right? That's how it starts. But when we know the word, and we know how to use it properly, we can talk to people if there's error being taught. We can try and convince them of that and get them straightened out. Philippians 4, verse 8, talking about the different things that we should be doing, he says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do," and what's the result? "And the God of peace will be with you." Once again, it's not a difficult formula to be prepared to talk to others about our Lord and about God. But we have to know what's in here. It can't be, "I think," or "I heard someone say," or "I'm not real sure." If we don't know, let's find out. Be honest enough. None of us know everything about the Bible. None of us. It's a constant study that we have to do throughout all of our lives. But let's not be found wanting in things that we should know because we haven't been studying and meditating on His Word. Should we be like Isaiah was? Isaiah in Isaiah 6 verses 8 and 9, when God asked, "Well, who can I send forth to go to my people?" And He said, "Here am I, send me." Now, we all have different talents, we all have different abilities. I understand that. But each of us come in contact with people every day that are starving for the truth. And whether it be giving them a Bible to read, whether it be offering to study with them, whether it be encouraging them to listen to sermons on the internet that we have available, or get CDs and hand those to them, or just talk about the Bible, period. We can all influence others for good by using that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So as we think about 2019, are we prepared as a people to teach God's Word to others? Once again, you know people that I don't, and I know people that you don't. You may be the only way that they're going to hear about the truth. We have the obligation to be those individuals that are willing to teach them and to help them, just as we were taught before we became children of God. But secondly, we need to be prepared to do good. You know, when you see individuals that are about doing good, is it just by happen chance? Or are they preparing themselves for looking for opportunities to do good? How many times have we let opportunities slip right through our fingers because we're not looking for them? Children of God should be the first ones looking to do good in whatever way we can, whether it be with our brethren or those outside the body of Christ. Take those opportunities and do good. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 5. In 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 5, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." Now notice this next verse, because this shows why they were able to do this. "And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God." When we give ourselves to the Lord as we should, we are going to look for those opportunities and we're going to take advantage of them. Once again, each of us run into different opportunities each day. We have to be on the lookout for them and then take full advantage of them. These churches of Macedonia, beyond their ability, they wanted to do whatever they could to help those brethren that were in need at that time. In verses 8 through 15, it talks about taking up that collection and getting it ready so that when they came, they would be able to give that and take that to those in need. Turn with me, if you would, to Galatians, the 6th chapter, verses 9 and 10. Once again, as we look at these things that we are to be prepared for, are these options if we want to be pleasing to God? I mean, if we choose not to do them, are we still going to be pleasing to God? Well, obviously, that's a rhetorical question. We know what the answer is. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 and 10, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Now, once again, those opportunities are out there. We have to be looking for them, preparing ourselves to be able to do those good deeds when they come about. We find in Philippians, the 4th chapter, verses 10 through 14. If you remember when we studied that good book, Paul rejoiced about the type of lives that these individuals had led. He says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you have shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities." These individuals were looking for that opportunity. And when it came, they took it. They helped the Apostle Paul. And we need to do the same thing. Many times people look at opportunities to help in only financial ways. Now, don't get me wrong. A lot of times that's a very needed want that people have, is they need financial help. But there are so many other ways that we can do good if we just take the time to think about it. You see someone having a bad day, and you try and encourage them and lift them up. You know a brother or sister is going through a difficult time. You might send them a card. You might go visit them. You might call them on the phone. There's so many things that each of us can do if we just look for those opportunities. In 2019, let's be prepared to look for those opportunities and take full advantage of them. In Luke, the 10th chapter, verses 30 through 37, we have the parable given of the Good Samaritan. And we could do lesson upon lesson about the Good Samaritan, but I want to focus on one important point at the end. In verses 36 and 37, when our Lord is finishing up this parable. Now remember, it started because this lawyer asked, "Well, who is my neighbor?" And Jesus went through this parable talking about the man that fell among the thieves. A priest and a Levite both passed by on the other side and didn't help. But the Samaritan, the one that you thought would least help, was willing to do so. And in verse 36, he asked this lawyer, "So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Showing mercy to people in today sometimes is out of vogue, if you ask me. People just want to be looking out for their own interest. Said, "Well, that's tough break for that person." Do we show the mercy that our Father shows us to others? Do we show that love and compassion for someone that may never even be thankful? The Samaritan, remember, he not only bandaged up this individual's wounds, he paid extra money for his care and for his stay at the inn. Said, if it costs more, I'll even come back and pay you more. Are we looking for these opportunities to do good? And then finally, I'd like to talk about the idea of growth. 2 Peter, the third chapter in verse 18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, once again, if I was to plant, those of you that plant gardens or have fields that you plant, if I planted a seed in the ground, and then 3 months later, without doing anything to it, I went back and said, okay, I'm going to have a nice corn stalk there, right? Y'all would look at me like I'm crazy, right? What do we have to do? Well, I know last year I had to water my garden a lot because it was dry during the growing season. You have to pull the weeds. You have to give it plant food if you have it. And do all those things, and then you can get the produce from that growth. But yet when we look at our lives as Christians, we don't give ourselves that same nourishment, do we? We have to be feeding on the Word of God to be able to grow as we should. So when Peter said, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's action, isn't it? It's not going to happen just magically, mystically. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. In Ephesians 4, as Paul's talking to this church at Ephesus, he writes about how each of us have different abilities and different roles as we serve our Father. In Ephesians 4 and verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now notice verse 14. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Once again, how do we become adults spiritually? Well, we have to know the difference between what's right and what's wrong. And I'm not talking about basic stuff. I'm talking about all the stuff. If we don't, what happens when false doctrine is taught? We can easily be led away, right? And it happens a lot of times so subtly. Because does a false teacher come up and say, oh, by the way, I'm going to tell you something that's not true, right? No. They try and act like what they're teaching is from the Word of God. But if we are established and we grow as children of God, that we no longer need the basic principles again, but we need the meat, then we can not be tossed to and fro. We all have a function in the kingdom of God. All of us have ability. We have to be using that ability, whatever it is, in his service, because if a part of the body is not doing its job, what's going to happen? Is the body going to function properly? Like if my arm stopped having blood flow to it, what's going to happen? It's going to die, and I'm going to have it cut off and amputated. Okay? The church is like a body. It is a body, but I mean, and we've been talking about building up our spiritual bodies this year. But if we're not doing our job in growing, what's going to happen? The body's not going to function as it should. In John the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 8, Jesus gives a very vivid illustration of this when he talks about the fact that he is the vine and we are the branches. And God will prune off those branches that are not producing fruit. I don't know about you, but it's very frustrating if you plant something and doesn't bear fruit. My mom has a rose bush. It grows huge, this tall. Doesn't bring one bud of roses. Is it good for anything? No, because it's got thorns everywhere. And if you hit your hand against it, you get thorns in your hand. We need to be the type of people that are growing as we should, growing in that grace and knowledge, so that we can be ready to do those things that are pleasing unto God. And then as we close, we'd like to ask this question. Are you prepared for that final day? We know that all of us are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All of us are going to give account for what we have done in the body, whether it be good or bad. And the question is, are we prepared? If we were to die tonight, or the Lord would come again tonight, are we ready for that judgment day? We want to extend the Lord's invitation at this time. If you find yourself lacking in the sight of God, and you want to make correction, whether it be becoming a child of God or turning back from sin, if there's any way that we can help you that the Lord will allow, we'd ask you to come as we stand and sing.
Someday you'll stand at the bar on high.